Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri podcast with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Ooh, Bev, have you stuck your little tippy toe outside this morning?
My little tippy toe? No, I know better. It might get stuck to the sidewalk.
Yeah, really. At 8:30 here in Joplin this morning, it was 1 degree above zero. I'm just sure it's got to be colder where you are. And oh, my. Oh, gosh, it's cold out there.
Yes, and I checked with my daughter. I haven't heard back yet from her. With her, living in Destin, Florida, they're supposed to have snow.
Oh, wow.
I'll ask her, are you going to the beach today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on at this time our special guest, Jack Link. Welcome, Jack, to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri.
Good morning, Chip and Beverly.
So, Jack, what is the temperature where you're at this morning?
We are twice as warm as you.
Okay. All right. Well, Jack, what we want to do this morning, of course, we want to focus on your part in the blind and low vision community. And so, but we want to talk, just get started. Tell us a little bit about your vision loss.
Well, my vision loss, I was born 2 months early, and they call that now retinopathy of prematurity. They put you in the incubator, and it's two different theories. One is too much oxygen, and the other is the withdrawal from the oxygen, which to me makes a little more sense the way it was explained to me, but they still don't seem to be all that sure in the medical community. But anyway, my twin sister, the same thing, but she has enough vision that she drives a car in the daytime. So it affects people different ways.
Yeah, okay. I did not know, Jack, that you had a twin sister. Did you know that, Bev?
No, I did not. I've known Jack for several years and
yep.
Did not know he had a twin sister.
Isn't that something?
I've known her ever since we were the same age.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, Jack, I suppose since the time you were born until today, I'm sure they've come a long way regarding that blindness situation. Have you kept updated on where things are at?
Some. And it seems like it takes spells. They had it in the late 40s and early 50s. Then apparently they had an issue with it in the 70s, and apparently they haven't completely solved it. It still happens now and then. I don't think it's as prevalent. I don't know how many of the kids that went to school for the blind were, you know, born premature.
Okay, all right. Well, Jack, you mentioned your twin sister. Do you have any other siblings?
I have 8. Out of 9, my oldest brother died in 2009, but the rest are still living. My oldest sister is 83, and my youngest brother just turned 70 yesterday.
All right. Okay. Very good. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. And you are married, correct?
I am.
To a wonderful woman, June. So how long you guys been married now?
We celebrated our 25th anniversary on November 20th.
Well, congratulations. That's great. Yes, that's absolutely awesome. And share with us a little bit, Jack, a little bit about your work history.
Well, I have worked for, I won't give it all the years, but I worked for Social Security. I worked about 3 years for them. I've worked in a couple of different workshops in, like at the Lighthouse and what used to be the Kansas City Association. The bulk of my work, though, was in the business enterprise program. I had a store for a few years, and then I had machines that I got commissions off of.
Okay.
That was like for 23 years.
Yep.
Then
okay.
I worked a couple of years for a service club for the blind.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I remember when it was called Kansas Association for the Blind. That was many, many years ago. And
yeah, I don't know when it changed up, but I was gone for 20 years from Missouri, well, from St. Louis, 15 from Kansas City anyway. By the time I got back, that it was Alpha Point, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And they also, it's very close to where I lived for a little while in Kansas City. I had a mobile home park about three blocks from where the Alpha Point is now.
Yeah. Okay. And I think, Jack, the first time I met you, of course, was over the phone. You were living right next door to my pastor and his wife and family. And she told me about you. I don't know how, but I think she got your telephone number. You were living, of course, here in Joplin. So, gosh, how many years ago was that when you were living here in Joplin?
Well, it was 34 years in September.
Wow. Ooh, where does time go? My goodness.
No, that's when I moved to St. Louis. I'm sorry. That was, it'll be 35 years ago in April 1st.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Then
All right.
I moved into Joplin and I lived there from the beginning of April till the end of September. And Linda was going to school up here. And it just made more sense because
yeah.
I was going to go into the BEP program. It just made sense for us to be up here.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very good. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. All right. So let's get into a little bit about your commitment and your part in this brand new organization called the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. So how did you guys, you and June, learn about it? How did you get involved in BLVCM?
Well, actually, Jeff called me, I guess it was in November, and he had just mentioned that after the convention, he had talked to some people and whatever. And, of course, I belong to St. Louis Northern Lights. So I guess sure he probably talked to most everyone in the organization, but it just explained to me what it was all about and some of the difficulties in the Missouri Council. And I said, you know, because I've been around, I've seen some of what goes on there, and you know, I'm not that involved in MCB since I was on the board. I keep up with things, but I'm not. Anyway, I belong to three special interest affiliates, so I guess I'm still a member. But anyway, I said, you know what, I'm willing to go along with this and see what goes. And well, anyway, you know, then we had the meeting, and I guess that was at the end of November, and we elected officers, and somebody had to audacity to nominate me for treasurer, and nobody else wanted the job, so I got it.
Well, we're glad that you took that position, Jack, so congratulations, and we know that you'll do well. So, and you've had experience in being treasurer, so I'm sure that you'll be able to handle that just fine.
I was just saying, I've been treasurer of several different organizations, so you know, I may not have all the contacts and all that some treasurers have, and not the greatest knowledge in investments, but I keep things straight and do the best that I can.
Sure, you bet. And you've also held the position, tell me if I'm wrong, president of the St. Louis Service Club. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you've had some leadership positions, so that's really great. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Well,
all right.
I have, and I've been district governor of our Lyons district.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty awesome responsibility right there. So, and how long have you mm-hmm. Held that position?
Well, it's a one-year thing. It's elected Well, you start with second vice district governor, and then the next year your first vice district governor, and then your district governor, and each one is a 1 year term, and they've got it now, so you cannot go back and serve in that office. I think, you know, sometimes we get people that not too many people want to do that and whatever, and some people have done it two or three times, and so Mind International has made it a rule that now you cannot repeat as district governor.
Okay. Now,
I don't know if you moved to another state or something that you could serve. I'm not really sure about that, but
okay.
So it is a 1 year term.
Okay. All right. Thanks for sharing that with us. All right. I'm getting ready to turn it over to Bev, but one last question. Jack, I know you've had, unfortunately, some health issues. So how are you doing these days?
Well, my knees do not like the cold weather, but I don't know if it's sometimes I'm not sure if it's the knee itself or the some of the muscles. Sometimes when you have that, you walk maybe a little differently, and some of the muscles they get, I don't know if you actually pulled or whatever, but they anyway they get a little sore, and sometimes I don't know if it's the knee itself or the muscles. But, the hardest thing is, I've had both knees replaced, and the hardest thing is standing up, especially if I don't have two arms on an armchair or something to push up on.
Mm.
But walking is pretty good, and steps are, I'm getting better on.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much.
I had a heart bypass, 5 years ago, and that's doing well.
Good. Very good. Yeah. Well, I like I said, I knew you had encountered a few little hiccups there, but glad to hear that things are going better for you. So, yeah, thank you so much for giving us that update. Okay, Bev, I'm going to push it over to you.
Okay. I'm going to back up a little bit of where all you've lived, Jack. Did you tell me at one time, were you in the San Diego or California area?
I was in the Pasadena area.
Oh, Pasadena. What'd you do there?
Well, I started out, I was working for Social Security in Los Angeles, a teleservice. So everything we did was by phone.
Mm.
So it's trying to cut down. The offices are so busy. And we try to cut down on the office traffic by taking as much of that that we could do it over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that, I went into the office with a friend of mine one day. She would apply for SSI. And when you apply for SSI, you've got to apply for a Social Security disability. Well, it took 2 hours for her to get in and do the application for the SSI.
Uh-huh.
And then it took her 2 hours to do the application for Social Security disability.
Mm.
And I could have asked one question and determined that she wasn't eligible for Social Security disability, but they didn't ask me.
Mm. Okay, the training for Social Security, did you get that on the job, or did you...
it was on the job side. It was at the Teleservice Center in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And the program was 13 weeks.
Mm.
And I was the only one that was not from the Western region. So my job was actually back here, but they didn't let me know what the circumstances were, because there was an opening in Kansas City at the Social Security office. Was right down the street from my house.
Oh.
I was hoping to get that so I wouldn't have to move.
Yes.
But
yeah.
They had an opening there in Los Angeles because one of our class members was scheduled to work there, and he dropped out of class, and I put in for the transfer, and at the very, actually past the last minute, they approved the transfer.
Oh, wow.
And I did that for almost 3 years, and then I decided to go back to college. I wanted to get an associate degree. I was interested in nutrition and health, so I wanted to do chiropractic work But just about the time that I got my associate degree, my ex-wife said that the smog bothered her so much she had headaches and whatever, we needed to move. So we did. But then that took me away from the chiropractic school. So.
Oh, my gosh. Now, see, I would never have guessed that you were in the interested in chiropractic and health and nutrition and all that. But
I wanted to do that because I wanted, you know, as a chiropractor, I could tell you that, you know, particular herbs or things were good for, you know, if I told you now that garlic was good for high blood pressure, if the wrong person heard me say that, they could send me to jail for practicing medicine without a license.
So
that's why I wanted to be able to do that, and then I could talk to people about more natural nutrition things.
I love it. I love it. And are you interested in natural things for cleaning and other things other than health?
Well, you know what? I would be. I just don't know enough about that. I know there are some books and whatever that have that information. We just have not looked into that. But I have heard that different radio programs and stuff talk about that.
Yeah, that is so interesting because my daughter is, oh my gosh, she's on this kick about getting rid of all the chemical things too, even skincare, makeup, you know, and no more plastic. I go, you're getting rid of all the Tupperware I bought you, you know. But
I want you to know that I have never used makeup.
And you look gorgeous. Well, and even when you're talking about the knee problems, I thought, have you been to a chiropractor? You know, because, you know,
not
with the
since.
Muscle.
I've got to, and I don't have the information. I've switched insurance programs, and so I have to look up or find a chiropractor that takes my insurance because I'm cheap. I don't want to pay a whole lot of money for, you know, go in there and talk to them. But, you know, I figure that a chiropractor would be very good for one. I wouldn't even mind finding one that does I can't think of the therapy with the needles.
Acupuncture.
Yes.
Well, a previous chiropractor I had, he did that. In fact, he just had me talking away, and all of a sudden a needle came. I thought, whoa, could you warn me?
Some people say there's not much pain to it. My niece said that she didn't have much problem except right around her knee, because she has bad knees too, apparently, but that was painful, but other than that.
Yeah. No, I didn't find them to be painful. It's just when he goes to take them all out and I'm missing a couple. I go, oh, great, I'm going to get home and there's still needles stuck in me. Well, look at this. I've known Jack for so long and I didn't know all this about him.
Me too. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I do know just by hanging around Jack, besides his strengths with the treasury, and I always told him you should have gone into being an actuarian because he is so good with numbers. Memorizing. So, yeah, but also I know he has got some very strong strengths as a parliamentarian. You know the parliamentarian procedures, Jack.
Well, I have actually been to some leadership program with the when I was in the BEP program. American Council of the Blind deals with an organization. They have a convention every year in Las Vegas, a leadership. They call it Sagebrush. But it's basically a leadership program, and every year they had a parliamentarian, and I've just watched other parliamentarians, and I've just learned a lot just by listening, you know, and I've not studied it, but I think probably if I wanted to, which I don't know if I do, if I wanted to, I could probably, you know, do study and become a parliamentarian.
Interesting. Interesting. We might have to follow up on that with you sometime because
I don't know what it takes to do that, but like I said, I've just observed. That's how I've kind of watched other people lead and uh-huh. Back to when I was in school, started with student council and whatever, you know. And so I just watched. I just learned by observation a lot.
Yep. Wow. There are so many aspects of Jack Link that I did not know about. And I did know, I could tell just by hanging around you a little bit that you're a very bright, observant person too. So, and I'm assuming you went to the Missouri School for the Blind?
I did, all the way through school.
From kindergarten, or at what age do they start?
I went in, I turned 5 in the summertime, but they wouldn't take me until the middle of the school year. So I went in January of 1956.
Uh-huh.
And they said at the end of the school year that I passed with flying colors. I said I didn't even know she saw me throw the crayons.
And at that time, what was the enrollment of the MSB?
I'm not sure what it was when I started. The only figure that I remember was from like in the 1965-66 school year, there were 226 kids at the school.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. And how many do you think there are now?
I know there are about 45.
Really? Mm. Wow.
But then what keeps the school going is their outreach program. They provide information to blind students all across the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like maybe 1,500 kids. So that's what mm-hmm. keeps them. And of course, I'm glad that the school is still here in St. Louis, because if they moved it, there's been talk about moving it out to Fulton when combine it with the school for the deaf. But there you don't have the transportation and thing where you can learn, you know, how to get on the bus and, you
mm-hmm.
know, get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. And the daily living skills that go along with it, with transportation, like you said, and getting around, because there is life outside of the building.
All right.
Yeah.
And I still take buses now and then.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could take Colorado all the time, but like a friend of mine here in the city, I take one bus and get over within about 3 or 4 blocks of his house and walk. And so I'm still trying to be as independent as I can.
Yep, that's great. Good. Yep. All right, Chip, do you have some questions for Mr. Jack?
I sure do. Jack, did you ever attend Lions World down in Arkansas?
Not as I've been there a couple of times just visiting.
Oh,
but
okay.
I've never attended it. Back in the long ago days, they had college prep courses at Arkansas and Topeka and Minneapolis. And I don't know if there was another place, but they'd send some of us different places. I went to Topeka, and some of my friends went to Little Rock.
Okay.
So I visited when Linda was down there, and then June and I visited back in 2013 when she was the liaison person from between our district and Lions World Services.
Okay, yeah, okay. And Jack, along with some of the other disabilities there that you mentioned with your knees and everything, you also have a bit of a hearing loss. Is that correct?
I do. I mean, got involved. Actually, I don't know what June went to something, and they were talking about it. And she came home and she said, "You need to get your hearing checked, because you could maybe be able to qualify for the SSP program." And so I did, and I did.
Well,
so,
that's the reason why I asked you about your hearing loss, because I know that you're one of the consumers on the SSP program. So how's that working out for you?
Well, I really like it, and I'm hoping that we can get things, you know, back. There's supposed to be a meeting at the St. Louis Society this Saturday, and I want to go to that and learn what I can. I don't know how soon they'll have the program back up and running with the funding and so forth.
I'm right there with you, Jack. I also have a moderate to severe hearing loss and wear over-the-ear hearing aids. And I've been a part of the SSP program since about 2016. I was one of the very first ones that applied for those services when it first started out with Deaf Inc. And now it seems like it's made a full circle going back to Deaf Inc. So I'm looking forward to getting the program back up and running again, as you just said, because there's a lot of people in the deafblind community, people with a hearing loss as well as the sighted vision loss, that really use the program. I tell you, over the years, probably the last 7-8 years, that program has meant so much to me personally, being able to travel, been able to do so much, traveling across the state, not outside of the state of Missouri. And I'm sure that you have done that as well. So it's just such a terrific program. So I'm excited about getting it back up and running again.
Yes. Well, that's why I want to go to this meeting on Saturday and see if they have any more information.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Jack, what do you perceive? Do you have any personal aspiration or goals for BLVCM? What would you like to see what we can accomplish for 2025?
Well, I mean, it looks like we're growing, and that's a good thing. Obviously, it's going to take a while before we get enough funding to do some of the things we want to do, but we're looks like we're starting in that direction, so that's good. I would just like to see, hopefully, that we can remain a harmonious group and just basically do, you know, all the things that with the outreach and the communication and the different things that, that we can do what we need to do.
You know, Jack, I love it when you talk about working harmoniously. It's been, and I was talking to Jeff Creech, our president, about this, and it's amazing to me because, Jack, it's almost like there's something magical taking place. Ever since we started, people are getting along so well. People respect each other, loving each other, supporting each other, encouraging each other. It's just really almost something magical, and I really love it. And even like we had a meeting last night, and people were really excited, and I love that. It's been a long time since I've been a part of anything where you've had that type of excitement. So I think we are to a great start in the short time that we've had together, just a few short months, and we've been able to accomplish so much. And I know that we've got, with everybody's enthusiasm, energy, there's going to be a lot that we're going to be able to accomplish in the year 2025.
Yeah,
so I'm really looking forward to it.
I told people when the first time that I ran for president of MCB, there was some dissension then, and I said, you know, we could have all the money in the world, and if we with all this dissension, if we can't get along and whatever, we're not going to accomplish anything. And if we get along, we don't have any money, we can't get along. So, you know, we can't accomplish anything.
Well, that's really so true. So, yeah, thank you, Jack. With all of us pulling together, it's like in my email signature, I did a little quote from Helen Keller that says, alone we can accomplish so little, but together we can accomplish so much more, something like that. But anyway, you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. And
that
is true.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah. 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 So, All right. Well, Bev, anything else you want to ask?
Yep. Yes. I want to mention too, Lion Jack. I am Lion Beverly, but I haven't
realized like last year sometime. I remember how when it came up, but I remember you, and I hadn't realized that you were a lion.
Yes, yes, here in the Lake St. Louis community, and St. Charles County's got several Lions clubs, and they're all very, very active, and I'm very glad to be a part of the Lions and the work that they do.
Which club is yours?
Which what?
Which club?
Oh, which district?
Well, I know your district, but what club do you belong to, particular club?
Oh, Lake St. Louis Lions Club.
Okay.
Yep, yep. And we're small, but what I've noticed, too, that we keep getting new people, you know, and so that's good. And there are donations. They pretty much all go to vision-related organizations. We do two food pantries, but other than that, you know, we've got Mind's Eye, Leader Dog, and LCIF, and the School for the Blind, St. Charles County Council of the Blind, Braille, Midwest Braille, you know, so these are all really great organizations. I'm very proud of my Lions Club for supporting these organizations, too. So. Which one are you in?
I'm in Maplewood Lions.
Oh, wow. They've got a lot of members, too, don't they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're not a large club. I'd say we're in maybe 30-some members. I've got a roster somewhere. I got to look. But anyway, I've actually changed clubs a couple of times. But this was something that I... was going to say one, but I got interrupted because my phone's hooked to my hearing aid, my cell phone is, and it rings a couple of numbers while you were talking, and I lost my train of thought.
You got somebody else talking in your ear.
I've experienced that. That's right.
Oh, great. Well, you know, before we end, too, I know Jack is very, very successful with his bowling, his hobby.
Yeah, we're going to see if I could mention that, because we have two bowling leagues here in St. Louis, or leagues for, you don't have to be blind to bowl on the league, but we have two leagues. Of course, we need sighted people to tell us what pins are left, or if you threw the ball in the gutter, which gutter it went in, and whatever, you know. But I've been bowling on this one league except for the year that I was district governor. That would be my, like, 32nd year that I'm bowling on that league. And between the three leagues that they've had in St. Louis over the years, I've bowled over 50 years. So I really enjoy it.
You're a natural.
Yep.
I've tried it. I wasn't good when I could see. So not seeing was even worse.
Well, I've never seen it. Now, I did have light perception, and I think that probably helped a little bit when I was a kid, but I lost that when I was 14. And, you know, but I'm just... it does probably make a difference. If a person was a good bowler when they were sighted, they'll probably be a pretty decent bowler if they lose their vision.
Yeah. It's kind of with golf. Someone told me, you know, that there's a blind golfing group. And I said, well, I couldn't do that when I could see. I really think that makes a difference if you were even experienced at playing golf a little bit. And then you lose your sight, which I've known.
The swing.
Yeah, yeah. And I know people that do that.
Yeah, they do have it, but I don't know if they have one in St. Louis. I have heard that there is a Blind Golfers Association, but I don't know anything about it.
Is that the one called the Midnight Golfers? Or is that Florida?
I've never heard of a particular organization. I did play miniature golf once with the group from our church. We went, and the guy that was, he's a golfer, and his wife, and No, it might have been. Anyway, it was Linda and another friend of ours and I, were three of us were blind, and then there was one sighted person, and we're playing miniature golf, and he would tell us, or he would, I think he would even go over by the hole and whatever. And but anyway, we played nine holes. I shot a 24, got a hole in one.
Wow.
No kidding, wow. Did you? Wow.
And my daughter that night, our sighted daughter, Chip, I don't know if you know her, you know of her. She played the same course, and she shot a 24 for nine holes.
Wow.
You know what, Jack? I went with my girls when they were little, and Allison was so helpful. She was about 5 years old, and she'd pick up the ball and bring it. Here it is, Mama. And I said, you know, thanks. I think we're supposed to leave it there.
I think the first year you went to camp was the first year I went to camp.
Oh, really?
In 93 at Tobblestone.
Yep.
So I remember your girls.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was quite an experience, taking them there and them growing up with Cobblestone, too. My oldest daughter kind of quit because, oh, she was a teenager, you know. But the two younger ones really remember Cobblestone. They kept calling it blind camp. I said,
yeah.
We don't go there to learn to be blind.
We got that down pretty well.
Yes, we're good at that. But I just thought that was such a good experience for the family to see other families, too. So I didn't realize that was your first year to attend camp, though.
Well, I actually only got in because somebody else backed out at the last minute.
Oh, my gosh. Remember when you had to get your application in right away because it's first come, first serve, and we would fill up quickly.
Yep. I have to say that it called me because they knew I was interested. And so when this one person decided not to go, they called me and whatever, you know, so that's why I was able.
Yeah. One of the first people I met there was Leroy Welch, and he was telling me all about his blind cow. You know, and yes. All right, Chip, you want to take over?
All right. Thanks, Bev. And thank you, Jack. We're really out of time. But, Jack, I do want to thank you for being our guest here today on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. So it's been really special. And just so many things that I've learned about you today that I never knew about you. So I always think that's pretty neat. So again,
yeah.
Jack, thank you so much for being our guest here today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about myself.
Yeah, one last thing though, Jack. We got to get you in June subscribed to our BLVCM list. I can help you if you want to do it, have a subscribe to it on your phone, or if you just want to have June do it on the computer. However, we really would like to see you guys on the list so that you can stay updated.
I'd like to do both. I'd like to get it on my phone, and she probably would like to get it on her computer.
Oh, yeah. So we can make that happen pretty easy. Yeah, we can certainly make that happen.
I've got to figure out sometimes how to I can't. Right now, I'm in a situation where I got emails on my phone and it won't let me delete them.
Oh,
I wonder why.
I'm trying to figure that out. So maybe in some of these tech tips or something like that, I can learn something.
That's kind of strange. Okay, yeah, we can take care of that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
And we look forward to having you right back here next time on Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.